The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Hello, and welcome back into the podcast that we like to call From the Podium, where you hear directly from your Kansas City Chiefs. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steve Inserta. Chiefs return to the practice field on Thursday as they continue their preparation for Sunday night football against the Denver Broncos. We heard from Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy, defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo, and Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark, as well as special teams coordinator Dave Tope. We'll go in that order, starting with Eric Bieniemy, followed by Steve Spagnuolo. Then we'll take a quick timeout. When we get back, you'll hear from Frank Clark and Dave Tope. Here's Eric Bieniemy.
Good afternoon. Hope all is well with you guys. Hopefully everyone had a great Thanksgiving celebration with your families. Hopefully everyone has remained safe. And we're excited about this week, AFC West opponent. Okay, and with that said, I'm all ears.
As you watch the Broncos on film, I think a lot of people on the outside thought when they traded Von Miller away, they were just going to fold up shop, right? That defense has kept firing. What have you seen from them, especially in this past month since that trade happened, that makes them a threat to you all?
You know what? I don't know if it's just been the past month. I think these young guys have been playing pretty damn good every week. Now, I know they've had their setbacks, but that's a part of when you're trying to build a team with a lot of different young players. These guys are playing hard. They're doing a great job up front. Obviously, they got some guys in the secondary that are doing a heck of a job, and then they got some guys that are playing at the linebacker position that are playing pretty damn good. So when we look at them, we know we got our hands full. Our job is to make sure that we're doing everything necessary to give us the benefit of the doubt by taking care of the little things and having a sense of urgency and a sense of purpose in everything that we do.
Coach, you mentioned that secondary. What stands out to you about their rookie, Patrick Surtain?
You know what? I know I'm getting old because I'm watching his son play. So, but I will say this. That kid is he's a very, very talented kid. He does a heck of a job. He's a long kid. Everybody want to talk about that he's not very fast, but what I do see is a very skilled athlete who does a great job of reading and keying and diagnosing routes. And if he gets that, his hands on that ball, he's going to take it, you know, and he's going to make the very most of it. But we understand the challenge that's up in front of us. The thing that we need to do is just making sure that we're consistent and disciplined what we're doing on the perimeter.
Coach Tope said that Nicole is no longer on punt return. Do you feel like that's a benefit to him to be able to now focus solely on the NFC?
Well, here's the thing. You want all your players to play as many positions as possible because when it's all said and done, we're part of this team, we're part of this organization. It's not about, you know, having one particular role. You want a number of roles that people can count on you. Okay, so obviously with Coach Tope making that decision, obviously he felt that was the best decision moving forward for the team. Now, the thing that we need to make sure is that McColl is maximizing all the different opportunities that he's being given, obviously with the wide receiver group. So when it's all said and done, we just want our guys, the guys who are on the field, to give us the best chance to have the success. And so McColl's going to be given that opportunity. He just needs to continue maximizing it.
Coach,
Coach, it feels like we've been talking about it since like two drafts ago, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire and the passing game came up with Coach Reed again this week. How much of an emphasis has that remained for you, and what do you think the key is to maybe breaking through a little bit more there? I know he had the two catches for 13 last week.
You know what? At the end of the day, we want Clyde to be the best football player that he can possibly be and contribute in any way, form, or fashion. Because when you're wearing that hat as a running back in this offense, you got to have the ability to carry the ball. You got to have the ability to pick up a blitz, and then you got to have the ability to make a play on the perimeter as a receiver. So, obviously, he got back in the game, you know, a few weeks ago, and it was his first week back. I thought Clyde did a heck of a job of coming back off of injury. Now we just got to keep building off that performance.
Eric, Patrick talked about the sort of robber defense that you guys have been seeing a lot of. Mm-hmm. I realize you probably can't get into specifics on this, but generically speaking, what's the key to executing when you see those types of
defense? Well, pre-snap recognition, all the key indicators that give you a sense of what's about to take place. And then once that ball is snapped, what you've seen, now you got to have a post-snap reaction, and then you just have to react and play. So, yeah, teams are doing a good job of mixing up different coverages, whether they're playing some form of 11 robber, they're bringing that guy down late, or they're playing their shell defense and cheating another guy down late. But that's all a part of it. Our guys know exactly what's going on. I think our coaching staff do a great job of preparing those guys for those particular moments. We just need to make sure that we're consistent and disciplined in what we're seeing and then reacting and playing.
When you say post-snap recognition, I understand a lot of that's on Patrick, but is it mm-hmm. a combination of also the receivers also?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So I talk to the players each and every week because there's about 16 to 20 things that our guys have to think about as they break the huddle and coming up to the line of scrimmage. So, you know, it's all about your alignment. It's all about knowing your assignment, okay? Then you got to have a pre-snap indicator of what's taking place. And then when that ball is snapped, everybody needs to know exactly what just took place because they're not going to stand there like the old electric football when we grew up, you know? So, but these guys are going to move. So you got to have post-snap awareness of what's taking place, not only in the back end but on the front end. And so our job as coaches is to make sure we're giving them all the different looks that they need to see in order to go out and be the best that they can be on game day.
Is that a little bit of the reason why, you know, a guy can't just come in here and immediately, 3 days after he arrives, you know, being fully caught up on the offense and ready to make an impact? I mean, did you have to learn those things and be on the same page?
Oh, I mean, it's tough. I mean, there's a lot to learn, not just what we do offensively, you know what I mean? It's like learning a different language every time you go someplace, you know, someplace different. So here we may speak Spanish, at another place they may speak French. So, and then on top of that, understanding exactly how we're using, what terminology are we using when we're talking about different coverages and different defensive schemes. So, yes, there is a lot of things to learn. And that's why you appreciate the guys that we do have. Because first and foremost, they're smart. They're very, very intelligent. Okay, and then all the things that we're putting on their plate for them to go out there and react and play and still play at a high level, it just goes to show you that these are some special individuals.
Trey talked to us yesterday about the personal foul penalty and what he kind of learned from against Dallas. What was your message to him about that experience and what you kind of can and can't say on the field?
Keep your mouth closed, Trey. It was simple. Keep your mouth closed. So, and here's the thing. Trey obviously made a mistake. It was nothing that he intended to do. Life happens, okay? So I always tell the guys, we live play to play when we're involved in this game. You can't let a previous situation impact anything that we're doing moving forward. So he needs to make sure that, yes, he needs to understand, yes, I did make a mistake. But now what can I do to limit that mistake and move on? The thing that they need to do is just to make sure that we're focused on the next play, because that's the only thing that matters.
We haven't talked to you since the Cowboys game. There was that taunting penalty that Clyde got for coin. Can you kind of take us through when they all came over the sideline, what that was like? they tried to cut you off at the pass, I guess.
We had a nice little huddle conversation. But and the thing that that we've stressed to our guys, this is a point of emphasis. So regardless of what you may think that you seem to think that is harmless, that is not the case anymore. So We need to go back to the days of just handing the ball back to the ref. Get in the end zone, celebrate with you guys, and then we go on from there. The thing that we want to do, we want to make sure we're limiting all the self-inflicted wounds. We need to make sure that we're taking care of the things that we can control. That's something we can control.
Last one. Coach, with the Broncos coming up for Patrick Mahomes, this is, you know, that was his first NFL appearance. So to see all that he's done in that short amount of time for such a young player, and then to go through the little bit of adversity he went through, and now to seem like as if he's coming out around the other side, what does that show about the mental toughness behind a player like that to develop so quickly and handle all that he has?
You know what? That was one of the reasons why we drafted him. Obviously, we knew it was a pretty talented kid, but sometimes certain people just have that it factor, and you don't know what that it factor really is, but he has that mental toughness to handle a lot of different situations. And if you play long enough in this particular in this league, you're going to have your highs and you're going to have your lows. So as you go through a season and the journey that you're taking, you know, sometimes that journey can take you in a great direction. But sometimes that journey is going to take you in a direction where you're going to have to deal with a lot of different issues. So we've dealt with some lows. But the thing that I appreciate about him, he understands, hey, he has to keep throwing the football. It ain't like we're going to stop throwing the ball. So he got to continue to play. And on top of that, you know, Pat is not afraid of being vulnerable and admitting his mistakes. And I think that makes him a very admirable player and a person, but also, too, it exhibits his type of leadership that he has because, hey, if he's taking ownership in what he's doing, everyone else needs to make sure that they're taking ownership as well. So I admire everything and that he's done, but also, too, and you guys have heard me say this throughout the course of the season, if we handle those situations the right way, they're going to pay benefits, huge benefits for us as we continue throughout this season because if you can go through and weather the storm, the only thing we're going to do is get closer together. And that's what this is about, making sure that our team is bonded, heading in the right direction.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Guys, take
care. Now, how's everybody doing? I see some nice Chiefs gear on there, which is pretty good. I'm ready to go. I'm just going to open it up. It's been a while, obviously, with the bye week and all. We're refreshed and freshened up and just clearly knee-deep into the next opponent, which is the Denver Broncos. So with that, I'll open it up.
Steve, I'm sure one of the things when you're self-scouting is not that you wouldn't have already known a piece of this anyway, but figuring out why it's been so much better over the past month than it was over the first couple. What do you sort of
think? Yeah, listen, I'm always looking at the holes or what needs to get better. I'm glad that it's been better in the last 4 weeks. I mean, the whole, when you piece the whole thing together, to me, the most important thing is points allowed, right? That's what we're always gearing toward. We knew we had some weaknesses in certain areas, you know, earlier in the season. Some of it's gotten fixed. We still got a long way to go. The one thing I say to the guys, you know, okay, so everything's been good so far, but that doesn't do anything for us going into this game. You know, we just got to get our nose to the grindstone and get working again.
Did you sense, though, over those first couple months, because, I mean, from us, I guess, on the outside looking in, the turnaround came pretty suddenly. Did you sense stuff that was happening?
Well, I think I said this at one time. I don't know if I said it here, but it would have sounded strange saying it with as much as we were struggling, but I did not think we were that far off. I felt that way after the Tennessee game, and that didn't feel real good. It was 27-0 at the halftime, whatever, but something about that game, especially in the second half and the way we operated, I just didn't think we were that far off, and if we could just get it clicking, and some of it did, and hopefully that continues.
But Jerry yesterday was telling us a little bit about he credits you with his kind of hard-nosed attitude and sticking his nose in on every play and getting physical. He obviously had that before him.
Yeah, I wouldn't credit me for that. I would credit him.
Your name. I mean, when you get a guy like that, how do you, like, make that blossom?
Yeah.
Not everyone wants contact.
Yeah, well, I tell you, the simple part of it was, and this is to his credit, is once we found out, if you go back, if you remember, he was a corner, started those first two games for us, got hurt. And then Breland came back. How are we going to get a really good football player on the field? So we put him at nickel. That was his challenge. We've talked about this before. And he ran with that. And it was evident to us then that him closer to the ball was a good thing. And so when we made in the offseason, We didn't know who we had or weren't going to have, but we made this. I remember talking with Brett and Coach Reed about, you know, where should the pieces go? One, to keep him in there because of what you're talking about. If you're having a guy that plays nickel and he's more than just a cover nickel, or, you know, a guy that, and you got a guy that will stick it in, you almost got like a half linebacker, half DB. So he, to his credit, he's done a really nice job with that.
Since you've been here, you've had a bunch of guys who were kind of physical at corner. I mean, Breland was kind of mixing it up, and Fenton was a little bit that way. You had some other guys. Do you have to be that way to be a corner for in your system, do you feel like? I mean, do you have to be a guy who likes to be, for lack of a better term, a full-service corner?
Yeah, I mean, you're a complete corner when you do that, in my opinion. Yeah. I tend to lean toward those guys. I think that makes us better. Now, you don't take that at the expense of, you know, the skills that you need to cover.
Sure.
But the combination, and we have a couple of guys that have that combination. C.W. Ward does that. He's physical. He can cover. Jarius does it. Fenton's done it for us. I mean, you're right, last year with Breland. We tend to lean toward those kind of guys. I think those guys know that about this system and how I would like them to play, and I think it makes us better.
Is that something you talk about when you guys are going into the draft every year, when you're guys with you and Andy and Brett? You guys talk about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, that's a credit to Brett and his staff. I mean, tackling is, you know, the old cover corner. It's a little bit taboo to me because you kind of limit yourself if you're just saying all you do is cover. You want a complete football player, and I think what you're saying and what you're seeing, Adam, is those guys do that. That's good.
You had an opportunity to face Teddy Bridgewater last year.
Yeah.
And as you prepare for the Broncos this week, how different is he, and what kind of challenge does he present to you this week?
Well, he presents an extreme challenge. He's one of those guys I remember vividly in that game a year ago, him changing. It was down the goal line. He made a great check. Put him in, I think he checked to a quarterback draw. I mean, there were other things that he did that were really challenging. I was just on doing the radio thing with Mitch, and I would not call him just a manager of the game. He's more than that. I mean, he gets him out of a bad play and into good place. You know, he's smart with the football. He's not going to put it somewhere where it's going to endanger and turn it over. I mean, all those things add up, and when you got two running backs and all the skill that he has, that's what's made them a pretty good offense, in my opinion.
Coming off Dallas, and you know, a lot was made about their pass catchers, but how maybe under-talked about are some of the guys that Denver
has? I think they got three quality wideouts. I mean, and you guys know who I'm talking about. I mean, I think each one of them, we sat in there at the beginning of the week saying, who do we take away? Who do we try to double? And you go, yeah, just pick them. You can't double everybody, right? There's three of them there. So it's a great challenge for us. We're going to have to mix it up like we do. And hopefully we can confuse the quarterback a little bit. But, again, you go back to the quarterback who's smart with the football. I think we're going to have to challenge him, and we're going to rely on our D-line again, just like we did in the Dallas game.
As you looked back during the bye and studied the film a little bit more, what kind of difference has Melvin Ingram made for the entire pass?
Yeah, when you bring in a guy with that kind of experience and that kind of charisma, and he's just been in the league a long time, he's a physical football player. I mean, just what he's done on tight ends, to me, just makes us go up that much better. The way he interacts with the rest of the guys, I think really has made an impact just because of his experience and knowledge. And you guys don't see that because, you know, you see him out on the field. But that in of itself has been really, really big. And we're slowly trying to obviously give him the whole package and get him ready to play a few more snaps.
Steve, can you share what your message was to Frank earlier in the year as he was trying to get into a rhythm, and then how your message is to him now as he's in the midst of playing the best, you know, stretch of
I don't remember the message when he was hurt, you know, except to get back healthy. I know he was frustrated with that. But I do remember a period after he got back. Like, it took a little while. But then I remember saying to him, Frank, I said it three or four times to him that you're doing this. I see you doing this. Like, it wasn't about stats. You know, I wasn't getting caught up on that. But I just saw him transcending upward in everything that he was doing. I can remember plays where I'm a big long arm pass rush guy. I just love that. You know, I think guys with those long arms are really good at it. And he can do it. And I just remember seeing him do that as he was getting better and better. It wasn't showing up in the stats, you know, but it was helping us. And if he can stay on that trajectory, obviously that helps us.
Coach, kind of to go back to something Sam said about improving so quickly, I think you said trust your way to improvement, or that's the phrase that you always use.
Yeah.
Who would you say in the locker room is probably the biggest leader that embody that, kind of helping other people stay on task with that?
Well, there's a bunch of them, but I mean, obviously Tyron sticks out, Anthony Hitchens, those guys, they do it every day. And there's a bunch of guys that just do it by example. You know, the Mike Danes, the Turks, every day they're showing up. I'm missing them, but C.W. Ward, L.J. does it. You know, Juan's been doing it. Dan Sorensen. That's a good thing, right, to have that many names to throw out. But I mentioned to them about, you know, when you're trying to stay unified, you know, and if you want to be a unifier, show visual acts of respect and visual acts of commitment. You know, visual acts of respect is something as simple as, hey, Adam, can I get a bottle? I'm going to go and get some water. Can I get you one too? I know that sounds simple, but when you're together as much as we are, when you do that, I think it unifies everybody. Visual acts of commitment. You guys may not see it, but our DBs, Tyron's got the DBs out there 10 minutes ahead of when we're supposed to be out there doing footwork drills. And I see that every day. It says something to everybody else. And there's more examples of that. But in answer to your question or the point that you were making, we got to trust our way to improvement, and we have guys that buy into that and lead. So, you good?
Yeah, thank you.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
You just heard from Chiefs offensive coordinator Eric Bieniemy and defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo. Now we'll hear from Chiefs defensive end Frank Clark and wrap things up with Chiefs special teams coordinator Dave Tobe.
I need the best questions in 5 minutes.
you guys on the defensive side have really been holding it down pretty well. Spag just talking about how he felt you guys were close, but it's really hard to say that publicly when it didn't look like that. And now it's looking like that. What's been the glue for you all to kind of get that thing going to where you played as well as you have the last month or so?
I feel like, you know, just playing together. I said it a few weeks ago. It's just, you know, you start the season off, you got all these different parts. You know, you got new guys. You got, you know, guys coming off of, you know, just recovering from different injuries from the past season. You got guys coming off, you know, the off-season high, and just being away from ball for a little bit. And, you know, sometimes that takes a little while to get back. You know, that camaraderie of being a team, you know, being on the same page and stuff like that. The stuff that people are usually, you know, used to seeing these past few years, you know, with us is just, you know, all those things, it take time. So, like I was saying a few weeks ago, you know, it took a little time. And we just finally starting to get back, you know, in rhythm and, you know, just starting to get some juice back.
Frank, why do you feel you guys won so successfully on first down more? To get to third down, I know you talked about that before, winning on first down to actually, you know, earn the right to rush the passer. Why has that worked so well over this 4-game winning streak? And how does that feel when you know you've won on first and second down and you get that chance on third?
I mean, for real, you want to rush the passer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you want to do it with, you know, with reasonable yards, like, give you a chance. Like, you know, you don't give yourself a chance when you let the offense get you to a lot of third and twos, third and ones. You know, it's a higher chance of them, you know, converting that third down compared to, you know, and less chance of you at the defense, you know, y'all getting the opportunity to pass rush. You know, you got a group of guys on our defensive front who's eager to pass rush. You know, myself, Chris Jones, you got Mel. Now we just added, and you got these group of guys who just, you know, all we want to do is pass rush on third downs, you know, but, you know, we kind of take it and make it hard on ourselves when we, you know, don't do a great job of stopping that run on first down, second down, to allow ourselves to and put ourselves in position to do that on third down.
Frank, when you look at these last month of action for you, how much would you say this is probably the best football you've played in recent memory?
You know, like I said, just getting healthy, you know, getting back healthy and, you know, just taking advantage of every opportunity. You know, my coaches, putting me in the right position to win and putting us all in the right position to win and be successful. I believe I said that a few weeks ago too. Like, you know, as a team, you know, as a player, you want to be put in the right position to win, and you know how your coach coaches ass off, man. How you know get you in the right mindset to just to go out there and do your job. But then as a coach, you know it's your job to do that for your player. And I believe that everything came full circle and it just got back on the right track. You know, coaches coaching and players playing, doing our jobs respectively, and you know, having fun. I said that was another thing. You know, we had to get back to having fun. You know, work's never easy when you come in there. You know, everything's uptight. Everything's kind of, you know, it's quiet. That's not football. You know, football is a game full of fun. It's exciting. You know, and you never know what's next. And I feel like we kind of got back to that. You know, kind of thinking about the day. You know, winning the day. It's Thursday, so going out there on a Thursday's practice and worrying about that instead of worrying about what's coming on Sunday.
You feel that confidence? I mean, as a group, you feel that in the meeting rooms, locker rooms, all that stuff?
I would say, I know as a defensive line unit, I can only speak for my group, so I'm around 95% of the day. I truly do feel that. I feel like we coming around and we just starting to feel each other. It's a feel, you know, kind of a buzz you get, and you start to, you know, myself being here 3 years and being in the league 7 years now, you know, you kind of start feeling it. You know when your team got that buzz, you know when y'all kind of starting to feel it, you know, that confidence, that swagger, and I feel like we kind of starting to feel that, getting in that phase right now. And, you know, like I said, just having fun. You know, it's a fun game when you're able to come in to your job, you know, thing you love to do, you know, and smile and just go out there and compete with your boys. And, you know, talk about it. You know, good play or bad play. It's just as long as y'all doing it together.
The last piece, when you go, Pete.
Frank, you mentioned the fun and the swagger being back. So perhaps it wasn't there at the beginning of the year. Just how challenging was it for both you personally and as a room to sort of push through that and get to where you are now?
It's challenging. I mean, every year you come in, you know, being in the NFL is challenging. You know what I mean? It's not an easy job. You know, it's a hard job. It's not a job where a lot of people, you know, make it. And, you know, being able to, you know, just stay focused on the ultimate goal and not get sidetracked by all this stuff, you know, that's not that important relating to that. It's important. I feel like we've done a good job keeping all the noise down to a minimum and, you know, win, lose, or draw, just keeping everything in-house and staying focused on us and what we have to do as a team to get better. Whether we have a good game, a bad game, a win, or a loss, it's always been very judgmental in everything we've done, being very critical of ourselves and doing everything we can at the end of the day to go out there and successfully win a game on Sundays.
Okay. Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you.
I appreciate you guys.
What's the off week like for you? I mean, it's obviously a lot of film study and stuff like that. You find some progress in that off week in the special teams?
Yeah, you go back and you do a lot of self-scout. You want to see what other teams are looking at. You know, what are they seeing? Or do you have any tendencies? Are you doing anything 100% of the time? That's where you have to be careful. If you do it every time, then you know you're susceptible to a fake or some kind of trick play, you know, something. So you go back and you look at that. You look at what you've been doing. Like, are you successful with what you're doing? And you know, you look at the return game, you know, for instance, and you know, are you getting what you want? You know, as far as numbers and are the guys blocking the way you like? And you know, you spend a lot of time doing that. So we did that early, and then we jumped ahead. We started looking at Denver too as well. So we feel like we had a good jump on them this week.
What did you learn about yourself?
Happy? Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, without saying everything that we, you know, yeah, that we found, you know, I think, you know, we had a really good last 4 weeks, you know, on special teams. It's moving in the right direction. There's always room for improvement. You know, I think our punt return game, we need to get going a little bit more, you know, as far as, you know, our numbers of returns and stuff like that. But, you know, as a coach, you're never really satisfied. So, you know, you're always looking to improve.
Is that the reason why you change punt returns? I mean, you talked about maybe getting it going.
Yeah, we're trying to, you know, trying to get a spark. You know, we're not giving up on McColl by any means. I mean, he's, you know, obviously probably the most dynamic guy we have. But just a little bit, maybe just sit back and watch a little bit and you know, watch from the sideline. Maybe that'll, you know, help your confidence and maybe a little bit and watch somebody else do it. I mean, because, you know, we're happy with – Mike does a great job. He's a good catcher and makes good decisions. And, You know, so, you know, we just want to get that part of our game going. So, I mean, you try different things like that.
Is this something you're anticipating going forward, or is this?
Yeah, right now, yeah. I mean, right now, that's what we're going to go with. You know, and, you know, we always know we got McCole. We know we got Tyreek. I mean, so, you know, there's a lot worse situations in the NFL than we have right now. So, well, we have guys that we can use.
You would have improved special teams play. Tommy Townsend, the special teams player of the month for November. How proud are you of him on that?
Really great, really, really great news this morning hearing that, you know, well deserved. I mean, when you go back and you look at the month that he had, it's by far the best performance by a punter that I've ever had, you know, as a coach. And, you know, it was really, really good numbers, you know, and it was good to see him do it week after week. You know, that's, you know, he had a really good week and then he followed up, you know, with three more weeks. So, very, very proud of him and the unit, the whole unit. I mean, the gunners are playing excellent form. You know, Lammons and Kemp doing a great job covering kicks. Sometimes they're not perfect kicks, but they go down there and make a great play for him and keep his net down, you know, or keep his net up, really. So those are things, you know, it's a team effort. And, you know, Tommy's the first one to tell you that.
We talked about it before, more leading into the season, but a Super Bowl like the one Townsend had can maybe throw off somebody quite a bit. How proud are you in the prism of he was?
Yeah, I mean, from that point, it was probably his low point of his career, you know, that one play, you know, and he had to live with that the whole off season and, you know, start the year off with that on his mind. And I think, you know, it's behind him now. I mean, you could say, you know, he's bounced back in a big way.
Did you guys do anything special? I mean, as far as how you told him? I mean,
how we told him for the award?
Did you guys find out first, I guess?
I found out. He found out before me, you know, and I found out, you know, early this morning before our meeting. And you know, when I saw him, he had a big smile on his face, so he knew, you know. And I gave him the fist bump. And, you know, it's just a good – it's good for him. It really is.
Against Dallas, you finally got a chance to pull out that pooch kick.
Yeah. We've been practicing it forever. Yeah. You know, we do it, we practice it, and it's something that we, you know, you always have, but the situation was perfect for that, you know, right there. You know, you don't want to punt it because they're one of the best punt rush teams in the league. You know, they before our game, they blocked three punts out of the last four games, so we didn't want to put the punt team out there and have them go all out on a rush. You know, And so the surprise of doing it with the field goal team, it kind of got him a little bit. And then, you know, the execution was unbelievable. I mean, Bucker, you know, the punt was perfect. And then Allegretti running down, you know, that was a capper too.
You ever got a punter with as good an arm as Townsend's got?
No. You know, he can throw. I mean, he's a threat back there. He's legitimate. I mean, he can throw. I mean – and it's amazing.
Obviously, you did that with him in one of the games last year. I think it was against the Jets.
Yep.
Any part of you a little bit nervous about that part of it when you asked him?
No, I mean, we, you know, it's calculated risk. I mean, it's not something that, you know, we can't do it against every team. You know, every team plays different, so it's not up every week. But, you know, we have other stuff that we can do with him. He's a talented guy.
Coach, talk about the psychological aspect of kicking and punting. If you have Tommy shank one or Harrison miss one, what do you have to do to kind of refocus and kind of wrangle it back in?
Yeah, we always talk about the next kick, you know, the next punt. You know, it's all about the next one, getting the next streak going, whatever that might be. I mean, you can't dwell on it. It's like a corner. You know, if you get beat, you got to bounce back. You can't let it spill over to the next play. Our guys are right now, they're really focused and they're doing a good job with moving forward to the next kick or punt.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.